Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're slowly making our way through St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. I know at Mass each day this week, and I think into next week, the church gives us key readings, excerpts from this letter. I'm already behind on, I'm not trying to keep pace actually day to day on letters because there's just so much here that I want to try to mine and draw out to share with you. And if we don't get it all done this week, we'll move on into next week and just, what should I say, romp in the riches, romp in the goodness of God's mercy and love and the teaching of St. Paul and internalize it for our own lives. Before I dig into today's passage, I just want to remind you that if you weren't able to hear the programs on Monday and Tuesday, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. You can listen to them on your computer, download them on any device that works for you. You can also, on our website, you can see the Renewal Ministries app. You just click on the icon there and download that on your phone. You can listen to the program anytime that works for you. I know that some people are doing that. The program is on early, very early in the morning in most places when people are still sleeping. And so they can put it on their phone and listen to it at a time that's convenient for them. While you're on the website, I want to encourage you to check out what else is there. We have our television programs, The Choices We Face, and Food for the Journey. There's lots of inspiring talks, informative articles, and our monthly newsletter, which seems to get richer and richer every month. There's just so much there. There's a lot of information about our international missions as well, around the world, working with the church in about 40 countries each year, working with bishops, priests, and lay people on the ground in those countries, helping promote the new evangelization to strengthen and to support the work of the brothers and sisters around the world. And we encourage you to just go to that part of our website as well. You can browse it. There's a lot of very inspiring stories of the work that's happening in the church in various parts of the world. And given some of the bad news that seems to predominate in our country around the church in this time of redemptive discipline that we're going through in the Lord, it's good to hear what the Lord's doing in other places as well. So I left off yesterday in the beautiful passage in verse 12 of chapter 1, where St. Paul is just talking about how the life that he sees the brethren living, and he's praying for them that they be filled with the knowledge, the full knowledge of God and spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they lead a life worthy of the Lord, that they live a life fully pleasing to him, and in the process, through this work of the Spirit that makes that possible, bearing fruit in good work and manifesting in the witness of life what it means to live united with Christ. If, Christianity means change, if we're genuinely converted and we're growing daily, we're feeding on God's word, we're feeding on the sacraments in fellowship and the rest, we will change. He will move steadily from darkness to light. Sometimes, and it's rare, but sometimes people have huge transformations very quickly, like St. Paul had. But even though he had that massive experience on the road to Damascus, he also had to fight his flesh throughout his life. And he talks about our weaknesses. We want to do God's will. We don't do God's will. So that battle is in all of us. But if we stay with it each day and we avail ourselves to all the graces the Lord gives us and we live in communion with the brothers and sisters and then we live the mission of the Lord, you'll look up periodically and you'll be amazed at what the Lord has done. He's forming you. His desire is to make you a saint. That is to be like him. And the only people who enter heaven are saints. Everybody who goes to heaven is eventually a saint, right? It's either their life here on earth became sanctified at such a level by God's grace that they died in such a beautiful, beautiful state of grace, and their life was so marked by holiness that they passed purgatory right to heaven. All of us are going to be purified by Christ's love, either in this world or in the next. Those who are baptized into Jesus, those who die, confessing and living in him, Jesus will present us ultimately to the Father, purified. No one can see the face of God and live. Nothing unholy can see the face of God and live. And Jesus is going to make us holy, whether it's here or he's going to do it as we die in him, as the church teaches in purgatory. So Paul goes on, and he's talking about living in the power of God that will allow us to live with endurance and patience, with joy, even in the midst of all the trials that are here, in reminding us to give thanks to the Father, because the Father has, one, qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's how I ended the program yesterday. The Father has made it possible to become inheritors. We're inheriting the kingdom of God because we're in Christ, the firstborn, who inherits the whole of the Father's kingdom. And Jesus unites us to himself so we can have the glory that belongs to him. And Peter would say in his letter that we become partakers of the divine nature. Where we're headed, friends, is so mind-boggling. It's so amazing. And St. Paul always prays that the Lord would bring us into a deeper understanding and even an experience of it now here on earth as a sign that we're living in the future kingdom even now, the already and the not yet, is the way commentators, theologians talk about it. The next verse he says, he's done this. How has he qualified us? He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's delivered us from the dominion of darkness. What's the dominion of darkness? It's that the fallen dimension of this world. It's the kingdom of Satan and the demons that are subject to him, and they've infected this fallen world, and it's man's fallen nature conniving with satanic forces and powers, whether people do it consciously or not. When we say yes to our flesh, when we say yes to our fallen nature, and we don't fight against it through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're cooperating with this dominion of darkness. And literally, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, that each one of us lived without hope in the world because of the fact that we were trapped in darkness. I'm just coming back to, I want to read this to you from Ephesians chapter 2. It says, "And you he made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind, and so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Then he goes on to say, "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he's loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ." So Paul is saying, this is the default condition of the human race. We're born into sin. This is why it's important to be baptized as infants, to take away the stain of original sin. But we battle with concupiscence, and we're in a battle against the world of flesh and the devil in this world. And we were literally under a dominion, Paul is saying, where we had no hope of ever being released from that dominion. And it's a dominion of darkness under slavery to Satan. And Jesus has come, the light of the world. That's why Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness." Right? "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him. You were made for him. I was made for him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness cannot overcome it." The life that's in Jesus is the light that's entered the world. That life is the eternal life, the divine life, God's life. John the Apostle would say, "We've beheld his glory. We saw it. And we saw his life. The eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us," he said. So that is the light that shines in the darkness. And it's a light that could not be overcome. And where's that light? It's in a person, Jesus of Nazareth. He took on human flesh. So in him and through him, the light that was present in him would overcome the darkness, would break the power of the dominion. And Paul will talk about that a number of places here in this letter. And will take us from that dominion, that rule, and the authority of the kingdom of darkness. So he says, he delivered us from the dominion of darkness, and he transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. You've been transferred. You know, like from one job to the next. It's a little different than that, but a transfer has happened. You were literally in a place that you were trapped in and you couldn't get out of. Jesus rescued you. And in your baptism, how did that happen? That rescue happened in your baptism. You were united with the power of Jesus, the power of Christ's blood, which breaks the back of the devil. The sacrifice of Jesus It brings down the authority of the kingdom of darkness. That blood cleansed you, that perfect offering, that pure blood of the beautiful sacrifice of Jesus, that offering of love, the shed, just one drop of his blood really was enough to break the chains of sin that bind you and the accuser who has us trapped because he knows we've said yes to his temptations and sin. Jesus came to forgive those sins, and through his sacrifice and the shedding of his blood, forgiveness comes to the human race, to all who say yes to it and receive it. In baptism, we're united to that precious blood of Jesus on the cross. The rebellious dimension of our existence is we're put to death because we're united to the person of Jesus, and we're given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the new life. That's the kingdom. That's the transfer from darkness to light. So again, Paul said he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus bought us out of slavery with his blood. Jesus cleansed us from all sin through his precious blood. Plead the blood of Jesus over your life. Receive the blood of Jesus in the Eucharist. Receive the blood of Jesus in his presence, in his word, in sacraments. The King is present, and he wants to cover you with his most precious blood, cleansing you, protecting you, and in the name of Jesus, drive out all the lies of the enemy in your life in his name and in his precious blood. Claim the inheritance. You have been qualified by the Father through this act of love, this redemption that Jesus made on your behalf. Friends, this is the knowledge that Paul prayed that you would have and understand, the wisdom to know what really matters in life and what life really matters, what way of life really matters. This is his heartfelt prayer, and this is what the Spirit, the promise of the Father that's been given to you, wants to lead you into. This is a life that's fully pleasing to God, understanding your sins have been forgiven, that you've been brought from darkness to light, believing and understanding now that you're in the Beloved, and therefore you are the Beloved. You are a beloved child of God, and knowing these truths and living in these truths is life. Now, it's easy to say that, but we have to live it out each day in a world that pays no attention to this, that increasingly mocks faith, mocks people of faith, you know, tries to convince people from a young age more and more with more boldness and resistance to God. You know, the kings of the earth are setting themselves against the Lord and his anointed, mocking those who believe in God, saying there is no God, and that the only way you can come to full maturity as a human being is to cut yourself away from this strange and childish, foolish and weak dependence on faith. That stuff's a belch from hell. That's what that is. It's a lie. It's darkness. And they want to convince you that to have, to possess, to acquire, to consume, to have power, to have constant pleasure, to have life your way is happiness. Well, how's that going for you? How's that going for our country? Just turn on the news. It's a lie that gets repeated again and again and again. But because we have such disordered love of ourselves, and love of pleasure and passions are not subdued by the Holy Spirit, we're unconverted, we're not living in it, we become slaves to it. We're going to talk about this a little bit more tomorrow, and as we talk about the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hope you can join me.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.